Well, what do you know?
Not much, you.
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Michelle Good. In this hour of What Do You Know, locavore, author, and sportsman Jackson Landers offers up tips on how to hunt your dinner and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who sees himself in a pension with a winery attached, Michael Feldman.
Yeah, a little pensione. On a pension. I'd like to be on a pension, not necessarily in one. Michelle Good, ladies and gentlemen, joining us today as announcer. Jackson Landers is with us. He's in Virginia, and he finds and kills and eats things. But it's defensive, because they're invasive species. So it's kind of interesting, actually. And we have in line with us right now, and Jackson, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you prefer Jackson or Jack?
You know, either way is fine. I guess Jackson is a little more distinctive, so you can go ahead with Jackson. There's lots of Jacks out there.
Yeah. Now, is it true that you listened to the show when you were a kid, and that sort of formed your whole idea of eating invasive species?
Well, it didn't inform my idea of eating invasive species, but it's definitely. I listened to your show when I was a kid, when I was in probably fourth or fifth grade. I think it was WAMU outside DC. And I remember reading an interview one time where you mentioned that everywhere you go when you take the show on the road that you would do a you would read the local paper for a week before you show up, and that's how you would show up and sound like you knew what you're talking about. And so as I've been traveling around a lot, working on this book, eating aliens, eating these invasive species all over the place, I go to these different towns and I work with the locals on that, and that's a trick I picked up from you. I always read the paper for a week before I show up.
Yeah. And so technically you are a locavore hunter,
yeah,
is that right?
Yes, I am.
What does that mean in English?
Yeah, I try to make a point of eating meat that is local, that's right around me, instead of something, and I hunt for it, as opposed to getting something at the grocery store that maybe came from 3,000 miles away.
Yeah, I noticed that on your bio, your occupation is predator.
That's right.
Should we be alarmed at that, because, given these days that we live in?
Well, I'm also with what they're calling an invasive war now, and human beings have been, Homo sapiens have been in North America for, some tens of thousands of years. I think I'm willing to call you native, so you're safe.
Oh, so we will not be predated.
Yeah, you're okay.
Okay, that's cool. But what's this about eating Lutheran lionfish? That's a little disturbing.
It is. Well, the lionfish are they're native to the Pacific and in Indian Oceans, and they're these fascinating looking things with a big sort of mane like spray of venomous spikes that come out of them.
Yeah.
And someone got into the head that'd be a smart idea to put these things into the Atlantic Ocean. And there they are, and they're sort of taking over the reefs. They're all over the place.
But they're Lutheran?
They are found off the coast off of Eleuthera, the island of Eleuthera in the Bahamas.
Oh, Eleuthera.
Okay. Yeah, Eleuthera. It's an island in the Bahamas, and there
because we have a lot of Lutherans around here. And,
yeah.
And it was disturbing at first.
Yeah, yeah.
Predator seeks Lutherans.
That's right. No. I'm not going to be eating any Lutherans. No.
Okay. All right. Well, thank goodness for that. And so you actually went out to hunt. Now, these are invasive species, and did you actually capture some and eat them? Because how can you eat something like that?
I did. Well, the venom is localized in the spine, so you chop those off, and the meat is actually is perfectly good. It's very good. It's a lot like Chilean sea bass. But I did go out there, and it's not like fishing where you drop a line in the water and you wait for something to bite on it. You actually have to go underwater with a mask, fins, and a spear, and you spear them.
Yeah.
You're coming face to face with them.
I know. I watched the video.
It was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, you should get someone who does camera work for you, though.
I should. Well, it's a little shaky. The problem is we're trying to sort of not die while we were doing it.
So if one of these, they sting you and they can kill you?
It's sort of like if you get bit by, we have a thing called a copperhead out here. I don't know if you have them in Wisconsin, but it's like if you get bit by a copperhead, you're probably not going to die. It's going to ruin your day for sure. And, you know, if you're really small and or if it takes you a long time to get to a hospital, then you could die. It's probably just going to hurt a whole lot. I would say it's more of an issue if you get stung in the water as opposed to handling the fish in a boat.
Yeah.
And maybe you can't swim back to shore and there's no one to get you there. You know, your arm swells up. You can't swim.
No.
Then
yeah.
you could die. Yeah.
That'd be bad. Bad scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's maybe let somebody else do the fishing and eat them. What I think what we need is a market for lionfish in the United States so we eat them and enjoy the romance of someone else risking his neck.
So now, do you honestly think that if we get enough people to eat lionfish, they will cease to be an invasive species?
Oh, sure, sure. I don't think we could remove them 100%, but we could knock a lot of them down. When people decide that something's good to eat, you know, we can get rid of a lot of them. In Wisconsin, you guys were ground zero for the passenger pigeon 150 years ago.
Yeah.
You seen any lately? You know,
I don't know.
We ate them to death.
I've seen none with passengers on them. I know that. Some of them are pedestrians.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? And speaking of, you know, traveling around the country, reading the papers, you know the number one invasive species threat that I run across in the country?
Where's this going?
That wasn't the question. Do you know the number one invasive species that turns up in all these newspapers?
Pigs and lionfish and Asian carp. Those are the three.
This is not a real question. You don't have to answer this. Just, you say, no, what? And then I tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
Feral cats.
Feral cats?
Yes.
I don't want to eat a cat is the thing, you know?
Well, I know. All right. That's what I'm pointing. It's a problem. It's a dilemma because you read about it in all these papers everywhere, where you go. You say roaming packs of cats.
Now, I will say something about with feral cats, you don't see them way off in the wilderness, I've noticed. You see them close to human habitation. I think if we spay and neuter them and then stop feeding them, that they'll kind of disappear. This isn't even more of a problem on islands. Well, they'll just kind of go through everything, like in New Zealand.
Well, couldn't you spay and neuter the Lutheran lionfish as well? And then,
you know, they don't let you get that close to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, are all these things edible like that? I noticed like iguanas are on your list. Iguana.
It's very edible. It tastes like chicken with the texture of crab. And in fact, I think I can boil most of the terrestrial things that I've eaten. Pretty much everything tastes like either beef, chicken, or pork. The texture varies, but the flavor, everything tastes like those three things pretty much.
Uh-huh. Well, are iguanas actually an invasive species we have to worry about?
We do. There's two species of iguana that are trouble in Florida, and one is the black spiny-tailed iguanas, and those are not being killed off by the cold winters lately because they go down into burrows. And they will eat pretty much anything that they'll eat the eggs and young of the burrowing owl there. They eat eggs and young of the scrub jay. So they are pushing other species into extinction, actually, by their presence.
Yeah.
So, we do have to worry about them. It is a useful thing to eat them.
I mean, you could spend your whole time in Florida, though, couldn't you? I mean,
I could spend years doing this in Florida, absolutely.
Yeah. Because anacondas, pythons.
They probably any kind of exotic snake. They've got them down there. They've got spectacled caimans, which are like little crocodiles, in there with the actual crocodiles, as well. They've got pythons. They've got you name it. It's a problem down there.
I did name it. That was it. That's all I knew. I know because my wife and my oldest daughter went down to Florida, and they're going to go to the Everglades. And Sandy was alarmed because she read a story about the pythons, that there are now more pythons than... there's alligators out there. That's something to think about, too. But apparently they are... I don't know if they don't feed on alligators, do they, pythons?
They do. Actually, I've seen it go both ways. There's some really great pictures of that floating around the Internet. They'll eat each other, and sometimes it's kind of a draw.
A python eating a python?
A python eating an alligator, an alligator eating a python. They both think of themselves as, top of the line predators. They get into some scraps. But you can go into the Everglades. Actually, the problem is that you could spend a couple days wandering around and not see a single one. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's such low visibility. They've been trying to hunt them there, and they had a whole hunt last year, and they had all these people come in, and nobody got a single one, actually. So.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about them is they taste like chicken.
Snake actually tastes like it. I would say it's a lot like crab, actually, most of the snakes.
Crab is good.
Yeah.
And you don't have to crack the shell. That's a good thing.
That's right. It's like peeling a stalk off. Really easy.
And then I saw a show, and they got these Korean fish that they serve in Korean restaurants in New York. I'm not quite sure what kind of... It's a really weird kind of fish. It might be one of these walking fishes that eats babies that are out on their porches.
You're talking about the snakehead.
Snakeheads, yes.
Yeah, those.
And they tried. They were saying that, well, if you leave your baby out on the porch, then
they've actually made two
snakehead
B or C grade, I guess, horror movies about the snakehead after the big to do about those in 2004. And some people think they will. I don't think they're as quite as bad as all that, but they do make good eating.
They do, and the Koreans love them. And in fact, they brought them down there to breed them in the estuaries of Florida, and they spread all over the place. I think that was the origin of them.
Yeah, and you get people. They were common in the aquarium trade. You know, people would have them in a tank, and then sometimes you get a fish, and it looks like a lot of fun when it's 3 inches long, and then all of a sudden it's 12 inches long, and you don't have room, and you don't want to kill your pets, so the people dump them out. Yeah. And that is how a whole lot of these things have gotten out into the waterways. Is people get something and it gets a little bigger than they thought, and they can't bring themselves to kill it.
Yeah. It all sounds pretty overwhelming, though. Can you possibly kill and eat all these invasive species?
I can kill and eat a few examples of each. What I'm hoping to do is find a few things that we can turn into a commercial market. Like, I think lionfish, there is a real possibility.
I don't
of,
think so.
Of
don't ask me to invest in that one.
Yeah.
I'm not investing in a lot because they got those spikes on them.
Well, yeah, I mean, and those that get chopped off when the fishermen bring them ashore, you know, they're already down there fishing. That's how they catch spiny lobsters in the Caribbean, which is actually most of the lobster that they serve at the Red Lobster restaurant chain that comes from out in the Caribbean. And they're already down there with spears getting those things, and they're seeing the lionfish.
Yeah.
And so we've already got the trade coming from there to here, and you know, it's not venomous for you to eat it. And the texture is a lot like Chilean sea bass. And we're running out of Chilean sea bass, so it really is a viable alternative, I think.
Yeah, is something eating the Chilean sea bass?
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was called Chilean sea bass. It was actually for years was known as the Patagonian toothfish. Nobody wanted to eat something called the Patagonian toothfish. So a bunch of marketing guys came up with Chilean sea bass, and now we're running out of them.
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing with the Lutheran lionfish. You got to rename that.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know, Wisconsin platefish. Does that be a little better?
Poor man's lobster.
Something like that.
You know. So okay, and then the other thing besides the cats, you know, the number one problem of invasive species in this country.
What's that?
Today, thank you for asking. Canadian geese.
Canadian geese. Yeah. It's debatable whether depends on everything invasive is native somewhere.
Yeah, and they're not so much invasive as they're, you know, they're flyovers, but you know, they live here most of the year now.
The resident geese. Yeah, a lot of those are actually the descendants of live decoys that were kept, and when that was banned federally, people just let them go. And they don't have any. They don't know anything about flying south. They don't know which way is south, so they just hang around and eat all day. I've eaten a
decoys?
Lot of Canadian geese. Yeah.
Well, are you involved? You're involved with the geese problem.
I am, because in my own part of Virginia, we've got a lot of the resident geese that are not native to this part of the state, and so yeah, I've been involved with taking a bunch of those, and I put on some events with an organization called Slow Food, introducing people to geese and learning how to cook them. So it's not like a big Charles Dickens all day sort of thing, you know, quick easy goose.
So there's a slow goose movement, you're saying?
I guess you could call that. Yeah, there's at least three people. I think you can call that a movement, right?
I think it starts at three. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, okay, but are they protected, though, the geese?
They're federally regulated.
Migratory birds.
I mean, you can't shoot them year-round. It's not like iguanas. You see an iguana, you can eat it, you know, in the United States. But that's not the case with geese. They are federally regulated because they are waterfowl. You need to have a hunting license.
I think Dick Cheney can hunt them year-round.
Places where they are a problem, they want you to – they've got high bag limits. They want you to shoot them, yeah.
Yeah, because they're a nuisance and – I mean, they are flying sacks of what's another word for that?
Dung?
Yes. I mean, and you can't walk in the parks anymore because of the Canadian geese.
Yeah,
and then they bother the ducks.
Yeah, they
They harass the ducks.
I want to make a distinction, though, between a nuisance species and an invasive species. You know, a lot of the problem with Canada geese is that we've knocked down forests and put in... So they have a lot of food.
Did they bleep whatever you said there?
I guess so. I don't know.
They knocked down forests and they put in what?
Well, when we have a park, you know, that people like to go to, we don't have trees all around. Usually,
right.
We put in a big lawn, and that's a lot of food for them.
That's what you
so
said.
We've transformed habitat into something that grows lots of geese. So that's kind of partially our fault.
Yeah. Have you run into a species that, while being invasive, you would not ever eat?
Oh, boy.
You would not consider eating?
I draw the line at horses, dogs, and cats. We have a deal with all three of those those groups, and there are feral horses in a lot of places. I don't want to eat a horse.
No.
That's where I draw the line. And also, it's got to be something that's big enough to be worth cleaning and cooking. You know, like zebra mussels, big problem, too small to bother with.
Yeah, they are. You got to eat a lot of them.
That's right. Yeah.
And plants as well. You got kudzu in the south.
Yeah, we do have
creeping
kudzu.
Charlie here in the north.
Yeah, the book I'm working on, my first book is a beginner's guide to deer hunting, which is out with Story in September, and then my new book, Eating Aliens, is about dealing with animals mostly, because there are a lot of people who've written about eating invasive plants, but I did do a cooking with kudzu event for NPR this past summer, and it was actually very good.
What do you mean?
Grape leaves, and except we used a kudzu instead. We made pesto with it. It was all really good.
Yeah. It's cool. And you just have to reach out your window and grab a bunch, and it's right there.
And there you go. That's right.
It's like paradise.
Yep.
Right outside the window. Well, that's kind of cool there. And then, this continues. Now, are you part of a movement? Now, you mentioned that you had three people for the one movement.
Yeah,
is there a locavore?
Yeah, there is a locavore hunting movement. I think we can. I mean, I get emails from total strangers all around the country every day about it. There are a lot of people doing it. As far as the invasivore thing, that's a word the New York Times came up with. I think I'm the only one doing that systematically. But as far as locavore hunting goes, yeah, there are a lot of people doing that now.
Yeah, because you can't eat it all. No matter how much you want, it's too much for one man to eat.
That's right. It's too much. Yeah. I mean, and as far as the locavore hunting, we've got deer also, which are a big problem in the in eastern states. We've got deer like some places have rats, and so that's it's food right there. You know, you get one deer, you've got 40, 50 pounds of meat, and mm-hmm. it's basically like lean beef. So
yeah. And this whole predation thing, I mean, Sarah Palin, to her credit, opened up that can of worms. She in her show and everything, and her lifestyle, I guess, hunting is a good thing. People should hunt for their food. If you hunt it and eat it, then it's a good thing for the ecosystem, even.
It can be. I think the way that hunting is usually conducted in North America now, it usually is. I don't know that. I mean, Sarah Palin, I'm sure she means well. I've seen the video of her hunting that reindeer. I wasn't really. I saw a lot of safety rules being. I didn't see any blaze orange in that video. Let me put it that way.
She was hunting reindeer. She was hunting a reindeer.
She was hunting caribou. Reindeer are actually just captive caribou, so I should say caribou. But she was hunting a caribou, and she was breaking a lot of safety rules in the process, but I think she means well.
Yes, I noticed the caribou was drugged and staked, which you normally don't see in the wild.
No.
The hunters you see drugged and staked, but not so much the caribou.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Okay. Well, the book is out now. The new one is not out yet, right? Eating
Aliens.
The
new one is not going to be out until probably next year. I've got half the travel done for that, and then I've got a lot more to do in the spring.
Okay. Where's your next big stop now for a little alien?
Well,
eating?
I'm going to be going back. I'm going to go down to Georgia for another pig hunt. I'm going to be going up to Massachusetts for European green crabs off the coast. I'm going to be going to the Illinois River for Asian carp, and maybe to the island of Aruba for wild goats. So those are some of the stops I got coming up.
With the carp, you've got basically gefilte fish going there.
I guess you guys have been eating them for a long time.
You guys?
Funny,
I'm sorry.
People say it's inedible, and then what is gefilte fish good? I've never eaten it.
You guys, Jackson? I don't know about that.
Yeah.
We're gonna follow your progress, Jackson.
Right,
thanks so much for joining us here. Good luck with the new book, and keep eating.
I will.
Keep
having me.
Keep eating. Okay. Jackson Landers, ladies and gentlemen, from Keswick, Virginia. He is the alien eater. Okay. I still say the cats are the things we've got to think about.
Apparently they have a union. Gets them off the hook from the... from getting stalked.
There's a cat union?
I think so, yeah.
Oh. Is that AFTRA, or what is that covering? CAFTRA. CAFTRA, yes. CAFTRA. Okay, there. Now, you're not a hunter, though, John, but you got, I know your dad gave you the shotgun and everything.
Yeah.
And you fired that once in the didn't you, in the junkyard or something?
No, in the junkyard. No.
Yeah, didn't you fire it down there in Cicero in a junkyard or something one time just to see if it worked?
I don't think so.
Did you ever fire it?
Yeah. Not recently.
Where was it? In your house? Certainly not in your living room.
In my bathroom.
It's with an over and under or something like that, one of those?
No, it's just 12-gauge.
12-gauge shotgun. Did you go hunting with your dad?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I could.
Deer hunting?
No. It's just like squirrels or foxes or whatever.
Yeah.
I like tramping around the field. I didn't really like trying to shoot anything. I don't think I ever hit anything.
Okay.
So I hit some cans, some bottles, and set them up on a row.
Did you eat those once you hit them?
No, I just left them out there.
Jeff, I don't know. Are you a hunter?
No. My family is. They would shoot shotguns for geese hunting.
Oh. Yeah. But you didn't go with them?
Well, once I shot the gun.
Yeah.
Kid.
You
it's
shot the gun as a kid.
And scary.
Loud and scary, you say. As a kid, it scared him. As a kid. Okay. Well, that's pretty much it. My mother wouldn't let me fire a gun ever.
Well, you were a
city boy. Because Jewish people didn't fire guns. They were shot at. They were doing this. So, what could you do?
Well, it's a process, you know.
It is a process. Yeah. Interesting. Well, a little tune here. Or is something on your mind? I noticed there's something on your mind.
No.
Oh.
No, there's nothing on my mind.
I thought you were about
my
to say
problem.
Something. A little. Anything coming up here you want to promote? A little?
No, not really.
Jeff must have something going on.
We have a gig this Thursday, but it's an event. An event, private event, I guess.
Private event? What is it? Maybe we can come.
I'm not sure. Jeff doesn't seem to know. He's got to check his calendar.
Yeah. Are you sure it's Thursday?
It is Thursday. He's pretty sure.
At a home or a household?
At a hotel.
You know which hotel?
No, he can't
remember. What time it starts?
He can't remember.
But it's at a hotel. We probably could go to it.
We probably could. It's one of the two big hotels in downtown Milwaukee. So.
Milwaukee? The Hilton?
No.
Jeff, how can you not know this?
I have it written down.
Okay. All right. So possibly you can see them on Thursday somewhere at a hotel in Milwaukee. And what you'll hear will be something like this.
Once again, Michael Feldman.
Okay. Do you have Badger outfits?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
It doesn't have Wisconsin or Badger on it?
No.
Nope. This tie, I noticed, it's got W's on it.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I got that from my son for Christmas.
Yeah. Huh? That was your daughter.
My daughter.
He doesn't care about that. He cares about the tie. What did your son give you?
Tickets to the show.
See, no wonder you forgot about that. That wasn't that important.
Yes, it does. Tickets for the show.
Are you involved in the Wisconsin Badger operation?
No, I'm not, sir.
No. Why are you wearing the shirt then, man?
We play this afternoon. The Badgers basketball team plays this afternoon. Okay. In the Illinois.
Over this, you got to wear a tie and a shirt?
You bet.
Are you an alumni then?
No.
Alumnus?
No.
No?
No, I'm not. Okay. One of my daughters went to the... Madison.
Where'd you go to school?
I didn't go to school.
So this is even better then, because you made this your cause celebre.
Yes. Yes, that's what I did. Excellent. Yes.
Okay. And you? What's your excuse?
I had to dress like him.
Y'all got to wear, does everyone in your family wear the Badger red and the W's?
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And where are you folks from?
Lancaster, Wisconsin.
Lancaster, ladies and gentlemen. Right there on the Mississippi, almost there. Nice to have you here. This is not a trick question. Do you know where the state from whence the pineapple lamp came? Stage prompt. Yes, I do. It came from the state of Boston store. It was my mother's. This lamp. Yeah, Boston store lamp, pineapple lamp, my mother's lamp. And if she saw the shape it was in now, she would plots. Because we had to, you know, it's just held together by tape now. And look at the shade. It's embarrassing. Mom, I am sorry. But at least I'm using the lamp, you know. We had, was someone really concerned about this lamp? Is it, maybe it's an artifact that's worth a lot of money. Huh? Yes?
I used to have a lamp like that.
You used to have a lamp like that. Okay, maybe it's yours then. I don't know. You donated it? Oh, yeah, no, I don't think it's that one. I'm pretty sure it's Boston's, or it could have been Gimbel's. Those are the two choices in Milwaukee. You know that Madison is the X-ray spectroscopy capital of the world? No, I didn't. Boy, that's pretty exciting. That's another feather in our cap, huh? X-ray spectroscopy. Who wrote this? Oh. Is that worth talking about? All right. I'll walk sideways down here. Oh, pardon me. I stepped on you both. I am so sorry. It's me. How are you? Why are you clutching your purse, ma'am? Because you were clutching your purse. It was a clutch. It's a clutch, and you were clutching it. You were clutching your clutch. That's why they call them clutches, because when I walk by, they clutch them. How are you?
I'm fine. No.
Spectroscopy?
You're talking to the wrong guy.
He sells it. You sell the machines?
Yes.
Am I accusing you of anything? I don't think so. I'm trying to understand why this is even worth talking about.
He wrote the question.
I don't care about that. I'm talking to you.
Well, it's important to me because I get a commission on every one I sell.
Yeah, you're peddling these things. What are they exactly?
Well, they're elemental analyzers.
Of course.
Everyone
needs one. Do they have home models?
No.
That should be next, I think.
Yes.
You're a heck of a salesman. You're really good. I want to buy one just from hearing you describe them.
My boss told me if I was on the show, I wouldn't have a job, so.
We'll cut it out in the mix. Don't worry. I wasn't making it anyhow, so they didn't hear that. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Why is this important to you?
Oh, this is my life. I love this stuff. I've been doing it for like 33
X-ray
years.
X-ray
spectroscopy, yes.
That's how you say it.
Yes.
I don't know where to put the C in that.
Yeah, there's only one.
And, okay, and is that what you are, an X-ray
spectroscopist? Yeah.
You are?
Yes.
And do you do that just like randomly or?
Well, I do it twice.
That's what she said. No.
I go around with this guy and we tell people why it's wonderful and they should get it.
So
and
you're like his shill.
Yeah,
so he's out there selling it, and you're in the audience saying, "Say, I'll buy one."
Then after they get it, we have to go back and teach them how to use it.
Okay.
So that's why two times.
And these are for hospitals and stuff.
No, absolutely not.
No.
These are
amusement.
National laboratories, universities, materials research, any kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, we have electron beam comes in, remove an inner shell electron, we get an ionization, we get the X-ray emission comes out, and we tell you what all the elements are in the sample.
That's really handy to have that.
It's great. They're fantastic.
Why should you guess at what emissions are coming out? You know?
If you had to guess at the elements.
I can make a good guess at what emissions
are
coming.
We go to the national laboratories, NASA.
You know, every 7 seconds an emission comes up.
Well, this is what we think about in the other 6 seconds.
Yeah, that's it. Whoa, I could get a diagram of that, baby. There, a flight of the. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah. Did you sell a bunch of them on this trip?
We did the training for people who already bought some.
Oh, okay. All right. Servicing.
Yes.
Sales and service. Remember that.
I sell.
What's your name?
E-Service. John.
I'm sorry. Fred. Fred and...
John.
No, this John is John and Fred.
We used to be competitors, but the two major companies producing these things merged into one company here in Wisconsin.
And for some reason, it all happened here.
It all happened here in Madison. And we have one other competitor who won't be named, but they're also here too, you know. Yeah.
Fitchburg.
Can you say that?
Fitchburg, yeah.
Can you say it again?
Thermo Fisher Scientific.
No.
You have a couple $100,000. I've got an X-ray spectroscopy machine for you.
I got to go now, guys. It's been great talking with you.
Nice talking
Mr.
You.
Sales and Mr. Service in the X-ray spectroscopy. This has been a heck of a show for me.
No, you can't go yet.
No.
Visa, MasterCard, American Express.
He's good.
Yeah.
So I can get out this way, I suppose. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Plenty more coming up on the show. God. I guess that must be his pitch. That's quite a pitch when he grabs you like that. You know, what's that? It's like 2 out of 3 and you end up with an X-ray machine. I don't really need one. I don't know. Are you in that business, anything like that?
Actually, I do teach chemistry, but...
Oh, you do? You need a... I can get you a discount, I think.
I'll check with the...
Sure, we're close now.
Science department, yeah.
Yeah. How do I keep my younger sons from growing up in the 60s? How do I keep my younger sons from growing up in the 60s? Dave Mikulski from West Bend. Dave, could you explain exactly what your concern is? You have a...
My concern's right here.
Oh, yeah, there's your concern. I don't think they're growing up in the 60s. Although you may have, yes?
Well, their style was based off the 60s in a way. They love the old 60s music. And some
that's
of the,
not, they don't look 60s. Though.
No, not look 60s, but only 20. No,
can we get the young gentleman to stand up for just a moment? You don't mind, guys, do you? All right. So now. They look so now. You got the hat on. You leave the hat on all the time, right?
Well, for winter. It's a baseball cap in summer.
Yeah, but I mean, you never take it off, do you?
Pretty much.
Shower, maybe, I suppose.
All right, so like an hour a day, then.
Yeah, and you don't do the cap thing, though.
No, it's right here.
Oh, you got your cap there. You took it off?
Yeah.
You take it off indoors? Or?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Okay. I'm not trying to pin you down anything. I think it's cool. You look cool. You're doing the goatee?
Yeah.
You decided against the goatee?
Yeah, I like the clean shave look more often.
Yeah, there you go. Does your father bother you about looking 60s?
No. Not really.
First you heard of it. Okay, well, sit down, gentlemen. They don't really care. They don't care, and that's very now. You don't have to worry about it.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes. Did you grow up in the 60s?
Yes, I did.
Yes. And what sort of garb did you affect?
I had a polo shirt and Calvin Klein jeans. Well, that was more to the 80s, I suppose.
Yeah, you're off at least 20 years on that one. You're very confused, Dave Mikulski. That's okay, though, but kids are doing good. John Cashew? Pita chip maker. I've never met a pita chip maker. Where is John? Hi. You're the first pita chip maker I've ever met in my entire life.
You should be lucky.
Yes, I should be lucky. You're right. Stand up for a second here. Let's have a look at John. He's from Milwaukee. He makes the pita chips. That side, John. They don't want to see that side.
I'm going to make a plug for the company. It's Kangaroo Pita Chips.
Kangaroo Pita Chips, the finest in pita chips.
All right.
Is a plant in Milwaukee?
Yes, it is.
Where would we find that plant? Are there tours?
Well, absolutely.
Can you watch a pita being made?
Well, you
being
can.
Chipped?
Absolutely, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they grown? Are they taken from the pita? Processed and sliced?
That's how we get a pita chip.
Yeah.
From the pita.
From the pita.
Right.
Okay. And your question here is, who asks better questions, men or women? Well, you know the answer to that.
No, I don't. That's why I asked it.
Yeah, okay. John, if you have to ask, you don't know the answer. So sit down there, John. Enjoy your pita chips. Kangaroo pita chips. What do you think the new zodiac sign? I don't know. I'm still a Pisces. I know they shifted everything around, and I'm still a Pisces. It's a little disappointing, actually, because I never felt like a Pisces, because I don't like water. Jennifer, where's Jennifer? Oh, you're with the pita guy. Well, stand up for a second here. How are you?
Good, thank you.
And you're a food stylist?
Food stylist, yes.
What is that exactly?
I make food look pretty for advertising and cookbooks. And
How do you do that? Do they have to...
Well, I take my tweezers or my paintbrush and put some oil on it and fluff it up and stick a pin to make it stand upright. And
is that how you met him? In the beautifying his pita?
Yeah. Sure.
Took a tweezers and
pita.
Okay, enough said, I guess so. Now the zodiac sign thing. Did you change signs?
Well, yeah.
What's
it's
your new
really
sign?
Disturbing. Now I'm a Pisces.
Well, so what's so bad about that? I'm a Pisces. What were you?
An Aries.
Is that better?
Well, it's like completely opposite. My whole life I've been practicing to be a good Aries, and now I'm a Pisces.
But don't you find it somewhat freeing?
No.
You know, are constrained by those Aries preconceptions?
But now I don't know who I am.
Oh. And he's not going to help. I'll tell you, Mr. Pita here.
I'm having an identity crisis now.
Yeah. Right. Well, don't worry about it. You're good whatever you are.
Thank you.
Yes, no matter what they call the sign, you're in good shape. Thank you very much. We're going to play a round of the what do you know. Yes, you can applaud if you want. That's fine. If you're a Pisces, applaud. If you're an Aries, applaud. What sign are you, sir?
Sagittarius.
Sagittarius. Still a Sagittarius?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good. What? Are you?
Probably he's not.
I'm sorry?
I'm a Sagittarius, and I'm that other thing. The 13th month?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I can't pronounce it. It's like the new Republican National Congress leader that you attempted. I thought you did.
It's the new Priebus sign or something.
Hey, Toyota makes that, don't they?
What is it? Serpent. So you have shifted from...
Shifted.
Do you feel any different? Or?
I've always been different. Sagittarians different. Are different. They're the unusual sign.
But you don't have to be different anymore. Because you're now a Priebus now.
Oh, God, no. I'm a yellow dog Democrat.
Well, thank you very much. And your name is?
Pat Ezrell.
All right, we're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz, a chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. Before we can do that, we have... Did you end up with it?
Yeah.
That went all the way back and came back again. That's amazing, because it started off for the back of the room. I'd like you to come over here, sir. We have to find who can and cannot participate in the quiz legally. And you, sir, are?
Tim Shear.
Tim, are you from around here?
Wautoma.
From Wautoma. Good man.
I will do that. The four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched. Although the answers have not, ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, I'd rather be shoveling the roof. Not my roof. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its members' stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Tim. I don't want to hurt you any further. No, keep that. That's yours just for being here. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to indicate an interest in playing the What Do You Know quiz, because it's something that you've always... Have you? You'll do it, but do you want to do it? You don't know what it is? Well, how can you volunteer for something you don't know what it is? Are you a Sagittarius or what? You're Aquarius? Well, come on, bury your water over here then. Come on. You don't know how close I am? I don't want to know. That's okay. It's none of my business. How are you? Pretty good?
Yeah?
Yeah, me too. I creak every morning. That's how I know I'm there, the first creak in the morning. Hi. The creak of dawn. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And your name is?
Ann Scott.
Ann Scott. Are you from around here, Ann Scott?
Yeah, Madison.
From Madison.
Madison, yeah.
But you don't know what this is or what
oh, sure. I know quiz? Why I'm here and I know what my name is and everything, but I wasn't too familiar with what, you know, what the quiz. I wasn't quite sure what the quiz is about.
General knowledge quiz.
Okay, like Sister Gadelka used to give us on Thursday mornings.
We call it the Sister Gadelka quiz, pretty much. That's pretty much how I look at it. Yeah, there's a lot of... You've got to know all the saints, names of the saints.
I'm a minor one. Yeah. Okay, I'll go for it.
Okay. That's a good reason, I guess. I was going to ask you for a reason, but that's good enough for Sister Gadelka, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's up on stage.
I would address it.
Is that all right? Is that a factor? You don't want to be on stage?
No, I'm a little nervous.
Okay, don't worry about it. You're going to be fine. All right. No, you sit there. That's my seat over there. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sister. If Sister Gadelka could see you now.
Yeah, well, she'd be turning over to her grave, I'll tell you.
Where was that, Sister Gadelka?
Yeah, that was in Milwaukee.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's Ann, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you doing these days, Ann? Or?
Well, moved here 5 years ago from Milwaukee, and I'm working for Northwestern Mutual.
Northwestern, the insurance people.
Yep, the insurance people.
Oh,
right.
Good job.
Right. Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah,
I enjoy
benefits,
it.
Any travel?
No, I'm done with that. I used to work in advertising for 30 years.
Oh, you did, yeah?
So, yeah.
Too much
and
travel.
Yeah, a lot of travel.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just sitting there now and enjoying my dotage, so to speak.
Ah. Well, it's nice to be working and have your dotage.
Nice to be working.
That's pretty much what I'm doing, too. A working dotage is a good thing.
A working dotage with benefits.
That's a good thing. And so are you from Milwaukee originally?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Milwaukee originally. Are you really? Where?
Yeah. 58th and Center.
That's a great area.
Is it?
They have lovely homes there.
Used to be a Chicken Delight there, but no more.
That's probably where I met you or saw you the first. But see, then we moved out to West Bend.
Yeah.
My folks moved out to West Bend.
Where were you?
Where was I? Where?
In Milwaukee. Did we change the subject? I don't think so.
Yeah, we were in Milwaukee. We were. What's my name?
Yes. We really should have a beer while we're doing all this.
Yeah, this is nice.
Seems to me. But, yes.
Yeah, we were in Milwaukee.
Well, yeah, but what part of town? What part?
Whitefish Bay.
Oh, okay, that's not Milwaukee. Yeah. We were going around a circle.
Yeah, well, you asked that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. God, you're too young.
Yeah, I had an uncle who lived in Whitefish Bay, thought he was uppity.
Oh, we're not. That's why we moved to West Bend.
He didn't have a Chicken Delight across the alley from him like we did, you know. And we had the lady who worked in the Chicken Delight living upstairs from us.
Oh, you didn't have to go far then. She could cook right there.
No, but I mean, when we went to Chicken Delight, then we got extra chicken, extra delight, everything.
Kind of like, I don't want to know about the delight, but I bet the chicken was good. Chicken must have been good.
It was pretty terrible, but it was, you know, almost free by the time, you know. Because Marcy lives upstairs.
Is this part of the quiz?
No. I'm just chatting here. I don't know. You're a friendly person. I feel like I know you. You're almost from Milwaukee.
Well, I've listened to you for years.
Well, thank you very much.
This is fun.
Nice to have you.
And who
are you here with now, Anne? This is.
Oh, well, let's see.
It's the whole group you got here.
My husband, Andy.
That's your husband there, Andy? Okay, Andy.
My friend Pat Eisen, who I met in sixth
grade. Really, yeah.
You spoke to her before.
Yeah, I did, yes.
And our friend Tim. Yeah. From Wantoma.
Oh, and Tim. So this all fits together now. These are all important aspects of the show
today. Absolutely.
All these people.
Absolutely. Yes.
And those the three on the end there?
They're just nice people. I don't know who they are, but they're probably just very nice.
They just got stuck next to you guys.
Oh, okay. All right. They're very nice, though.
They're dealing with it well, though.
Yeah.
Okay. You know how this works, Anne? Someone out there plays along with you?
Don't.
Oh, that's right. You don't.
I really don't.
You don't know how this works.
I don't have a clue. I do not.
Okay.
Do you want somebody else up here who does?
No, I'll give you a clue along the way if you need one. It's just a general knowledge quiz. Someone answers a qualifying question, plays along with you. You collaborate.
I see.
And we have various categories, as you'll hear. And then you can win really prizes you never wanted in the first place.
A Chicken Delight.
Yeah, but at least you're winning something.
Like a Chicken Delight.
Chicken Delight. I don't think they still exist.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
You good with that?
Yeah,
I'm good with it.
This is an encore performance of What Do You Know? So don't call now. Save that dime for next week.
All right. It's a percentage question. Within how many percent would you say?
20.
Well, that's a little generous, 20. Michelle. Okay, except during sex, people's minds wander what percentage of the time? Harvard studied this, so this has got to be for real. We want to know what percent of the time outside of that one particular act, as I recall, people's minds wander? So if you're looking, you know.
Do I answer that?
No, that's not real. That's a prop. They don't even make these anymore, Ann. Look at this. See? It rings and we can't answer it. There's no one there.
I thought there was a guy calling in.
Mom, is it? No, it's not.
Oh,
it's
not the guy calling
it's
in.
It's the Roto-Rooter man, Mom.
Oh, okay. Dear God.
Anyhow, did I ask the question? Yes, what percentage of the time people's minds wandering? And Bill's on the line from Hales Corners. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Michael.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. How's life in Hales Corners?
It's great. Just wonderful.
It is? Better than ever?
Better than ever. A little snowy today, but...
A little snowy in Hales Corners. You got something planned for today, Bill? Or?
I'm taking the Christmas tree down.
It's about time, Bill.
Yeah. It is.
Don't they? Aren't they shedding a lot of needles?
Yeah, there aren't many needles left on the tree, Michael.
That's kind of a general rule of life, Bill.
Did you wait a little long on that, Bill, or what?
No, we always wait this long.
Okay.
It's a short season.
Bill, how often, what percentage of time does your mind wander, if you're at all typical?
Well, it's wandering right now, so
yes.
How about 40%?
Whoa. Within what percentage?
20.
That's really too much.
10.
How about 10?
10.
Okay, 10. Yes, that's right. 30% is what we have here.
So
how about that, Bill? You nailed it right on the first try. Except during sex, when it wanders 100%. Okay, Bill, what's your calling there in Hales Corners, Bill? What do you?
I'm director of music at a Lutheran church here in town.
You are?
Oh,
yes, I may know about
which, you can mention the name of the church.
It's Hales Corners Lutheran Church.
Good name for it.
It is.
Because it tells you where it is.
It's appropriate.
And then it's Lutheran and everything. And what are you working on? Anything special these days?
Well, we just finished, obviously, a busy time of the year, so getting ready for Lent and Easter now.
Yeah, okay. You got to, you know, if you need someone here, Lyle Anderson is right here answering the phones and stuff, but he does all he does a lot of church work, church music. He's Mr. Church Music.
Wonderful.
So keep him in mind, will you?
I will. Okay. I used to live in Madison, so.
Okay, and you probably know Lyle. Bill and Ann, you work as a team right now. You collaborate. Here are the categories. Okay. What are they, Michelle?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Bill, you pick the first one.
Let's do odds and ends.
Odds and ends could be anything.
That's good. I'm good with that.
Okay.
All right.
True or false, there are bacteria that can get up on their hind legs and walk away. True or false, Bill?
Boy,
talking, talk it over.
That seems like that would have to be true.
I would think so. I think there's so many.
why would you think so?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just think there's.
You're a believer.
Seeing pictures of those little guys, I think they can do anything.
A paramecium.
Yeah,
legs
a paramecium. Sure, I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Yes?
I'll go with Bill. Yes.
You're
true.
Right. Yes, it's the Pseudomonas arugula or something. Arugulosa. I have no idea what it is. But apparently, it has legs and it can actually walk out of the little petri dish. That it's in and
current events, people, places.
What are those categories remaining there, Michelle?
Current events.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
People, places, things you should have learned in school, and science.
Did you say how many right there were?
There's one right and no wrong.
Okay, good.
Pick a ball game.
And you can pick one of those.
Let's do current events.
Current events are out of the news, maybe not. Did Rich Rodriguez, is the question, actually donate his maize and blue to the Salvation Army? Or is that just a story that went around, that he gave all his maize and blue, you know, the colors from Michigan?
He was the Michigan coach.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did his stuff all go to the Salvation Army, or did it not?
I would say yes.
Why would you say that? Yeah.
Because I think he must be a nice guy.
Yeah.
Okay, there's...
I mean, to be honest with you, I really don't know, so I'm going to say true.
Okay, and Bill?
Yeah, and it sounds to me like it might have been a diss to do that, so maybe it was just a story they made up.
So you're saying no?
False.
Saying
well, then I'll go with Bill because I think he might know more about that.
But you have an instinct for this kind of thing.
About Salvation Army or
I didn't really mean that. I meant, you know, that for people's motives and who's a nice
guy.
Well,
I know, but this is a kind of sports-related type. Yes, that's why I defer to Bill.
It's a toss-up.
Yeah, so how are you leaning now, Bill?
Maybe we should go with Ann's first...
with her instinct?
Instinct, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go with that.
Yes, he did. He donated 12 bags, 12 large dumpster-sized bags of maize and blue to Salvation Army. I have the address in Ann Arbor. It's 100 Urbana Street. Drive, Urbana Drive in Ann Arbor. So if you get there, it's probably all gone by now. But
we're on a roll, Bill.
Extra large and XXL. But top of the line.
Terrific.
Two
stuff.
Right, no wrong.
How many is that then, Michelle?
That's two right, no wrong.
You're a little too professional for this show. Could you
back
it off a notch?
Okay, I
Thank
will.
You. What's remaining? What's left there?
Let me think. I think there's people, possibly places, things... and science.
You think possibly places?
I think, yeah. I'm trying to be less professional.
No, that's all right. Okay. That's okay. Bill, what would you like?
Well, let's go with people.
People, okay. These are kind of survey results, what have you. Okay, the percentage of people who fib, flat out lie, or totally fabricate on Facebook.
Oh,
is it 37%, 69%, or 87%? Now, these are all three categories. They stretch the truth, they flat out lie, or they totally make up what they put on Facebook. 37, 69, or 87%. Talk it over, Ann and Bill.
Bill, are you on Facebook?
I am. My first thought would be the middle number.
Mine too.
69%.
69%. Yeah, that would be my first thought. Just
who are you on Facebook as, Bill?
I don't know.
Certainly not
and
Bill
really
from
Bill?
Hell's Corners.
I would go
Although,
with 69 as well.
You know, people like to share about themselves, though.
Yeah. Who are you? You got on as yourself, or is?
Yeah, don't you? Are you supposed to make up?
No, I'm Sister...
Yes, I
did.
Sister Gadelka.
Yeah, Sister Gadelka on Facebook. Very interesting.
Yeah. No, I'll go with Bill and Susie.
69% is right. Yes.
Is it?
Holy cow. You guys made it look easy. Holy cow. They've won the quiz.
Bill, you've won Comedy Distilled.
Wait a minute. We're not done yet.
Oh, okay.
They have the chance to go on
go to the Bahamas
for the whole thing.
Do we have time?
But we don't have time.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to do a one for here. One question, and they get everything, Michelle.
Got
okay?
it. Okay, Bill.
All right.
There we go.
Got it.
But if you want to do it. You
yes.
do. Yes,
oh,
they
sure.
do. What's left there?
Why not?
Michelle.
Places, things you should have learned in school, and science.
All right. Anne?
I'd like to try things you should have learned in school.
School it is?
Yeah.
All right, which one has the teeth, the blue whale or the sperm whale?
Wow.
One's got dentures and one's got actual teeth, ladies and gentlemen. Is
blue
it the blue whale or the
sperm
whale? It actually has teeth. Bill, and talk it over.
And the blue whale, my first gut reaction.
Well, I think in Moby Dick,
yeah,
it was the sperm whale
yeah.
that attacked. And remember the pictures of those awful teeth?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the sperm whale.
Then I'm going to defer to you.
Teeth on a sperm whale.
I remember that from pictures in the Moby Dick book.
So the expression is just rarer as a teeth on a blue whale.
On a blue whale.
You, Bill, you go with that, sperm whale?
You, absolutely.
Yes, it is a sperm
right.
whale.
All
right. Bill, you've won Comedy Distilled from a quarter century of priceless material on the CD set, The First 25 Are the Hardest, from Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Along with Scott Olson's book, The Golden Section, Nature's Greatest Secret, from Wooden Books. The Bottle Charm Beer Makes Me a Good Singer, from Say Cheese Design, and a Crapping Cow Keychain, from Fun Zone, Iowa City. A Purdue University lapel pin, and the What Do You Know? The Party Game, featuring alert audience members, savvy contestants, and the delightfully entertaining Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing. Anne, you and a guest will be thinking green and celebrating the latest trends in gardening at the Wisconsin Public Television's Garden Expo on February 11th through the 13th.
Whoa.
Then add to your motherload of prizes with a dozen American Gothic refrigerator magnets from the Cedar Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. A signed copy of 5-Minute Mysteries to test your powers of deduction from Management Strategies, and a green t-shirt from Cincinnati Brewing Company. And thank you for playing.
Well, thank you. What fun.
Nice going, Ann.
Our next live shows in Madison are every Saturday starting January 12th through February 9th at the Monona Terrace. Tickets are available at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Michelle Good. In this hour of What Do You Know, legendary talk show host Dick Cavett recounts unforgettable moments from his past. We visit our town of the week and play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
And now, the man who does not care to exfoliate, Michael Feldman.
That's right. I need every fold I have, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not exfoliating. Okay, then. You know, each week at this time we honor... No, we don't. We take letters because it's time for thanks for the memos. And we honor them. We honor them by taking their memos. Thank you for that. And also we have various feedback and letters and emails, including this one here from Gary Barstow. Let me be the first to wish you a happy 2011 or the last. I find your jocularity very uplifting on these cold, wintry days. I went online to see your website for the first time this week after listening on the radio for 20 years. I'm also 4-0 on the weekly quiz. My New Year's resolution is to achieve immortality and to be a contestant on the What Do You Know quiz, or to win a couple $100 million and have you broadcast your show from my living room. That's what it's going to take, Gary. I'll be honest with you. I can visualize John now tinkling the ivories while I lay on my oversized couch. I hope he has a piano. I mean, you know, just...
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I quit thinking about that.
No, really, I can't get past it myself. And watch Michael invite a guest to participate in my indoor pool. Whoa, okay, oh. Cool. All right. Anyways, back to reality. Take care. Wish everyone a very healthy and prosperous New Year from Gary Barstow in Pickerington, Ohio. Bill says, most state codes do not allow urinals on the floor to prevent dirt from being swept into the urinal and clogging the drain pipes. Bringing us back down to earth is Bill. I guess that was it. Someone came from out of state and marveled at our floor-length urinals here in Wisconsin. And I sent them over to the state capitol where they have the best thing in the capitol, obviously, are the urinals. They're marble, and they're floor-to-ceiling, so they're full-length. But apparently some states this violates a code. They'd rather have you pee on the floor, obviously, than because that's better for hygiene. William John McCormick, and I was listening to you on Saturday when you mentioned your only meeting with Garrison Keillor. I too met Mr. Keillor once. I had listened to his program for many years and never seen him. He had a live show in Baltimore, very large old theater. Right before the show, I needed to go to the bathroom. So I left mine was bathroom related too. So I left my seat and went to the lobby looking for the men's room. When I got to the lobby, I saw a tall, geeky guy in a tux. I thought I was in luck, an usher. I asked him for directions. He looked at me like I had escaped from the loony bin, whipped out his portable mic, walked out into the theater, a spotlight hit him, and he started singing the show's theme song. I thought you might like to know this, considering your brief encounter. Well, there you go. I guess there's probably a lot of those stories. I bet we'll get more of those stories now about men's room encounters with Garrison Keillor.
Some of them we might not want to hear.
Oh, I don't know. Someone asked me the most amazing fact they ever uncovered, and I said it was about snails, the sex life of snails, which I won't go into here. Apparently I had it almost right. Wayne says, almost but not quite. Slugs don't change sex as they are hermaphrodites. They have both sexes, but check out my YouTube video of slug sex. You bet I will. I'll be sure I never miss it. Looking forward to 25 more years of what do you know. Okay, Wayne. Maybe not in this lifetime. But some. India Inc. originated in China. Okay, well, thank you for that. And, okay. Oh, this is not exactly a memo, but I thought it was good. Why did I think it was good? Oh, sent in from Grand Rapids, Ben and Sharon Vander Wilp. Liquidation all furs, final liquidation prices, savings of 40-70% off our entire multi-million-dollar inventory, all accessories 50% off. This is a personal invitation extended to you, your family, and closet friends. I'm willing to think it was a typo. Here is the actual memo sent in by an actual listener. It reads as follows. Greetings, the HCC Theater Department would like to wish you a happy new year. As you may know, the summer production of Once on This Island has been chosen from our region to compete at the Regional Arts Festival in Ames, Iowa on January 20th. This is still upcoming. If you had the opportunity to see the show, you know we have 22,000 pounds of sand to take with us to Ames. We have contracted with Mayflower Moving to have a semi-truck to move our set and props and costumes. The sand, however, needs to be contained. With much deliberation, we have come to the conclusion that small rolling trash dumpsters are the perfect size for our needs. If you live in the Highland community and have rented a rolling smallish trash bin from the trash company, we would like to discuss using it for about 2 weeks. We would be able to make arrangements to have your trash removed during that time and brought up to the college dumpsters for you. The trash company is aware of our needs. They simply do not have any extra dumpsters in storage to replace the ones we need to borrow. Please email me back as soon as possible. Sincerely, JRD, Theater Department. There you have it, 22,000 pounds of sand. Need a hitch to Ames, Iowa, ladies and gentlemen. If you can help, give us a call here. We'll pass it on. And thank you for that memo. Michelle, where can they send those memos and missives? And
they can send them to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that personal mail as well?
Yes.
What about if you're incarcerated and you want to get a hold of us? Is that a good way to do
that's
it?
That's a great way to do it if you're in prison.
Okay. Actually, I think I have one prison listener. I always say, you know, like we own prisoners, but we don't really. The one guy keeps writing me, and he's very nice, but I hope he doesn't get out soon and look for me is what I'm looking for. Because I can't really help him at that point, but he's a very nice guy. And he's trying to get the other prisoners to listen, and I appreciate that. And no one's interested. No one in the cell block except him listens. The rest of them are Prairie Home Companion fans. Dick Cavett. You gotta love Dick Cavett. Dick Cavett, the thinking man's talk show host. I love, when I was coming up, actually I never came up, but Dick Cavett was the man. And he still is. He's joining us right now. He's got a new book out called Talk Show, Dick Cavett. And he's joining us now from Long Island. Mr. Cavett, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. But, you know, I got uncomfortable during your monologue. Can you guess why?
No, why?
I didn't expect to, but when you've written daily, as I got to do for Johnny and Jack, and I guess the older people know who what their last names are, and Merv, the first thing you did was stay around long enough to hear the monologue and hope to God your jokes got in ahead of the other guy's jokes. And when they didn't, you weren't sure of continued employment.
Yeah.
So to hear a series of good jokes, none of them mine, is painful.
Oh, it's painful, Yeah.
However, I managed to laugh.
Yeah, well, we were all pretty uncomfortable during it, so you weren't alone. Now, writing for Merv Griffin has got to be different than writing for Johnny. How do you get your head in?
Writing for each person is different.
Yeah.
And the key, not to get ponderous about it, is you have to be able to hear that person in your head automatically and word it right for them.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't word it the same for Johnny as you would for Jack.
No. But how hard is it to get Merv Griffin in your head, though?
I never tried. By the way, Merv, I should add to that, should he be listening somewhere, as people say, is that he was a hell of a good boss, very, very easy to work with.
Yeah.
Jack was sometimes painful, neurotic, dangerous, and all of those qualities made him a brilliant presence on television, where the great Kenneth Tynan said once, when Jack's on the screen with someone else, you only watch Jack for fear that you might miss a live nervous breakdown on your home screen.
Yeah, and he certainly had them.
Yeah.
He did walk. You never walked off a show, did you, like Jack Parr?
I never was on it.
No, did you ever walk off a show?
No, I never walked off. I let the guests do that.
Who walked off?
Including the ever-popular Lester Maddox, governor of Georgia, when he said I had called all the people in Georgia bigots.
Yeah.
And I had 1 minute to apologize.
Yeah.
And this went back and forth for quite a while. And then I finally said, well, if I've called anyone a bigot who isn't a bigot, I apologize. And Lester hauled out. How do you say it where you come from? Left the stage.
He left the stage, yes. Stage right. So I'm sure it was right. Did he bring his axe handle with him? Wasn't he doing the axe handle?
Well, now you've made a mistake that he loved.
Yeah.
He would say, people say they see pictures of me with a shaking axe handle of colored people. I never did that. I love the Negro people. I have Negra, careful to say, people on my staff. I've done things for them. The trick was that they were pick handles.
Okay. Well, so
loved it when Eastern journalists, who in fact printed the word nigger when a Southerner had said Negra, which is reprehensible, when they made that pick handle, axe handle error, as he probably called it.
Yeah. Well, we miss him, don't we? We miss a lot of these characters, not him so much. Norman Mailer, maybe we miss more than...
Oh, God, yes, yeah. I do miss Norman. He came back on the show a couple times after the notorious Gore Vidal Mailer Janet Flanner show, which is, to this day, has you on the edge of your chair watching it through.
Yeah. What was running through that now? Vidal, I know Vidal and Mailer didn't like each other, but I don't think Gore Vidal liked anyone.
Well, they had been friends.
Yeah.
The friendship took a slight hit in the green room when Norman head-butted Gore, nearly knocking him out.
Did he seriously?
Yes. Gore had entered the green room. I wasn't there. And placed a hand on Norman's shoulder and said, how are you? And Norman got up and headbutted him. I found this out from Gore after the show.
Oh,
to which
yeah.
Gore said, you're absolutely crazy. And he lent material to that theory on the show later.
Yeah. Well, I know that Buckley threatened to punch out Gore Vidal at one point. So maybe it was actually Vidal's. Just something about him made people want to hurt him.
Well, he and Buckley were sort of like fish hooks in each other's flesh.
Yeah.
in a way, they admired each other in various ways and not others. And the funny, antiquated, exact wording of that thing you just referred to, sorry, mm-hmm. English teachers,
okay.
Was don't call me a crypto-Nazi, you queer, or I'll sock you in the face and you will stay plastered.
Uh-huh.
It's not exactly...
not his best quote.
It's not Sonny Liston talking, is it?
No. But it is sort of the submarine punch all over again.
Remember the funny Sonny Liston fight was 27 seconds or
yeah.
something?
Yeah, you could miss it.
Bob Hope said, I went to the fight and Sonny sat down before I did.
they don't make them like that. By the way, before I'd be remiss if I didn't go and say that Sid Reinars says hello. You know Sid?
Good.
He claims he lived next door to you.
Where does he claim that took place?
One of those doors that you were living next to. I don't know. I think from Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
Sid Reinars, I believe it is.
There is someone I lived near once with a similar name.
Uh-huh. Oh.
It doesn't come to mind at the moment, but yeah. I would not want to question Sid's credentials on this.
Yeah. Actually, there is some dispute as to where in Nebraska you actually did grow up.
Well,
could you clarify that?
There's some dispute as to whether I grew up. if your idea of growing is to get more than 5, 6 3/4 inches. But in order for the record,
yeah.
We lived in Gibbon. They had no hospital, so I had to be born somewhere. And so it was Kearney. Moved to Grand Island, thence to Lincoln, until I went to New Haven to matriculate. Can you say that on?
I couldn't say it. You said it very well, I thought.
Yeah.
By the way, on
somebody's show recently, and I think it was... I don't know what it was. I've done a whole lot of them about the book recently. But somebody said, it was Ferguson, Craig Ferguson. I mentioned Gibbon and then foolishly added, when I left there, it was thought of as the beginning of Gibbon's decline and fall.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's good.
I thought Ferguson might not know the reference. Well, of course, but he did.
Yeah, no, he's smart.
And he said, but do you think anyone in this audience knows what Gibbon's decline and fall means? And a man said, I do, and stood up and took a bow.
Yeah.
So that's encouraging considering how far behind other countries we are, isn't it?
That's a classy show there.
Yeah.
Ferguson's
true.
Which,
by the way,
yes.
Are you heard in the 27 countries our American students rank behind in science and math?
Possibly.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, certain percentage. I couldn't give you the exact percentage because I was a C student in math myself.
I wonder how many American students can name 27 countries.
That's a good point. we're speaking of the time. How do you find talk these days? Now, you sort of were one of the people...
As in an old punchline, you turn on the set and there it is.
Yeah. But, I mean, the quality of it. Now, there are certainly there are no Jack Parrs anymore. I mean, Jack, of course, he was unique, so that's not going to happen.
No.
But even the level of conversation, we have hosts who tend not to want to really know the answer to anything that they're asking. Don't you feel?
It's hard for me to answer that in that I'm not addicted to television as much as I was in Nebraska, when to this day I could tell you every network schedule in prime time for every night of the week, if you want to test me on that on some later show. And the other difficulty is that I know, almost all the people involved,
yeah,
and
right,
many of them are friends of mine.
I mean, without naming names.
Without naming names, the question, as Buckley say, becomes, has talk deteriorated? I think so in a way, partly because there's too much of it. I mean, the great Mort Saul predicted 30 years ago that about this time, he had run a study, everyone in America would have his own talk show.
Yeah.
And it seems to get close to that.
Yeah.
I love the long form format, which some people have, I'm sure I didn't invent it. But I remember how laughed at I was at a production meeting on the old Tonight Show and Johnny when I complained that the great Peter Ustinov was given the same amount of time on that night's show as some ditzy singer to sit and talk. And I said, Ustinov's probably the best talk show guest in history. Couldn't we give him two segments or even a whole show? And that laughed yeah. as if that were the best joke I came up with that yeah. day. But
well, Parr used to do that, didn't he? You let people run on. That was what was so amazing.
If he liked him, he did. I don't know yeah. if Jack ever did a full evening with anyone, and he yeah. could easily have, of course. You know, his advice to me was classic. When I was about to do a show, he called and he said, "Kid, don't do interviews." You know, I mean, I thought, does he mean do a musical show or sing or read poetry or? He said, "Just don't do interviews. That's let me ask you this, and clipboards, and David Frost, and what's your favorite color? Make it a conversation."
Yeah.
And really, at its best, that's what the talk show is.
Right.
Well, whatever the length of the segment is.
Well, in England, they call them chat shows, right? Isn't that maybe that's more to the
point? I know they icky everything up in England.
Oh, okay.
Don't they?
Yeah. Thought maybe it was a good thing.
Now calling homosexuals Nancy boys and things like that.
Yes.
What are we going to do about the British?
We tried to do what we could, and it didn't seem to work out.
Oh, I wrote that.
You wrote that? Yeah. Okay, you wrote that.
I'm going to pretend I wrote that.
You never had a second banana out there with you. I mean, the format seemed to be host, a second banana, who, you know, I have my Jim Packard.
No, at the risk of doing a dreadful joke on that phrase. It was suggested, and I had the great Fred Foy, who sat in the front row, and I referred mm-hmm. him as all, but I didn't feel the need of that. And at the beginning, I felt the need of anything I could get and probably wished I had someone there at times mm-hmm. who might not have failed to listen to what the guest had just said. I think I talked to Ferguson about that awful feeling when you begin of you're being signaled from five places in the studio and someone's just whipped away a sign that you didn't read, and what am I supposed to do, go to commercial? Or, oh, my God, the guest's lips have stopped moving.
Yeah.
What could they possibly have been talking about?
Yeah. Well, you did have one die on you. I didn't see that particular show, but that's got to stop a show pretty quick.
No, but you know what's interesting about that, and people may think you're kidding, and it's not as with comedians dying on the show. I wrote a blog about that on my Times blog thing mm-hmm. online, and I think it started with hardly a week still passes when somebody a month, let's say now, doesn't say, "I remember the look on your face when that guy died on your show." Well, then I have to say, "Were you there?" "No." "Well, then you didn't see it, really, because it never aired." "Oh." And these people, many of them could pass a polygraph that they saw it, they could describe it. Now, I don't know whether that's a tribute to my description the next night. Pete Hamill got a great column out of it because he was sitting next to the then dead man. Mm. And, or what, but it certainly shows you the value of eyewitnesses, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And he was, what, a health advocate or something, wasn't he?
Well, whom would the gods allow to die on television yeah. except a health expert?
Speaking of health, a much underrated movie, I thought, your Altman film.
Wow. Well, you made my day mentioning that.
Yes, and we expected to see more of you on the screen after, because the Altman thing should have been a big break as far as cinematic release.
It was great fun. It had James Garner and Cal Burnett and Lauren Bacall and Glenda Jackson, and fun to shoot down at that preposterous hotel in Florida, that big pink hotel, whose name slips me now. But, that movie was thwarted a little by a couple of remarks Bob Altman made in New York Magazine, which began in an article, "I'll give you this interview if you print my first sentence as, the Fox executives are scum." Now, I hope that Roger Ailes isn't listening, because, of course, he was referring to Fox Studios. Yeah.
The studios, of course.
And the movie came out briefly and then went back quickly And it's got a lot of good stuff in it. And it's called Health, and it's got a lot of political parody and satire and good performances and stuff.
And your role
in
that?
I did make it from that to the movie Beetlejuice.
Oh, you were in Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
There you go. Another fine film.
Flipped your mind.
Yeah. That was not an Altman film, however, I don't believe.
Have you ever seen Beetlejuice?
Yes, it's hilarious. Actually.
Yeah, it's a cult film. Yeah, yeah, you really have seen it. Every so often, it appeals to adults and little kids, and apparently no one in between.
Yeah. I don't remember your role in it, though, I'm sorry to say.
Well, I was the wonderful Catherine O'Hara's agent and was one of those at the table, dinner table.
Oh, you were?
The ghost made us go around the table singing, "Hey, Mr. Tallyman," and so on.
Yeah, great scene. A great scene.
It was fun to do.
Oh, I got to see it again.
I even made a contribution to it by showing Tim how he could stop having the stagehands underneath the table sticking their arms up through holes and hitting the actors in the eye with the shrimp that were supposedly attacking them, saying, "Why don't you start with the shrimp on the faces, roll, have them pull the hands down and run it backwards?"
Yes. And they did that.
That was my contribution to cinema. But every so often, a five-year-old will lead his mother over to me on the street in New York and say, "Say a line from Beetlejuice." And then she'll say, "We have to show it to him every Friday night or there's no peace in our
no
house."
No kidding. And, of course, Forrest Gump. You were almost central in Forrest Gump, one could say.
That's another one where people think they saw things they didn't.
Yes.
Even technical people in the business will say that old scene you used with John Lennon and you. Well, John Lennon, of course, who was dead by then, had to be keyed in. But Tom and I shot that for the movie, and it was interesting because this will give you the tyranny of certain artists in the movie business. Great costumer on the movie and meticulous. And I wore a shirt with a collar alternating red and white stripes. Just before shooting, she noticed that in the real shirt, the stripes alternated white and red rather than red and white from the top. I'm not making this up. It sounds like S.J. Perelman or something. And they had to stop and remake the shirt. For those millions of viewers of the movie who would say, "Hey, the shirt's wrong, I remember the show."
Unbelievable.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. You got to love it, though.
Costumers have run out during giant spectacle scenes and said, "The epaulets are wrong. We got to cut." Amazing.
Well, I have to tell you that the only letter I ever wrote to a network, complaining about a show being canceled, was when I wrote to ABC.
Oh, my God.
When they were going to cancel your show on ABC, and I said something to the effect of, "The only show that the only intellectual or show on television," which was a mistake. That was a bad approach, I think.
That's a word you don't necessarily want to have attached to you for commercial reasons.
I know, and I wish I had the letter back now, in a sense, but I
should have just said, "The only jackassly entertaining show that you have on your network."
That's what I meant to say. But the only time, and I didn't hear from them. So.
Well, I hope I never have to do the same for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Dick. It's a pleasure to talk with you. I know you probably have things to do there on Long
Island. Yeah, I got to go on shows where they mention my new book.
Yeah, I really should have. I know you don't do that type of interview.
No, I would never plug anything. No.
We don't want to roll the clip or anything, do we? I don't think so. Talk Show is the name of the book. Dick Cavett, Confrontations, Pointed Commentary, and Off-Screen Secrets. They're all in here. And it's a great pleasure speaking with you.
I knew we would get on.
Yes. I know. I always thought that when watching. Yeah. I thought, boy, if we could hang out, this would be such fun.
Do you get nasty remarks from, and you say anything about Sarah Palin? I still do from my column in which I said she seems to have no first language.
I can tell you, I may have to use that one.
We'll trade.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Dick Cavett, thank you. New book, Talk Show. It was kind of a thrill. Him and Steve Allen were my two big favorites. All right, so what's this little tune here?
This is a little Herbie Hancock tune called The Maze.
Sounds good. John Tooley, Jeff Hammond on the bass. So did you figure out how to use that applause sign?
Yep, yeah, it comes in handy.
Nanette Rasmussen is a stay-at-home grandmother. She says, do you believe, or she asks, do you believe 55 is an appropriate age for senior discounts? Yeah. Yeah. Insulting. I hate it when they offer me a senior discount. My daughter started doing that a couple of years ago. Say, Dad, get the discount. You know, you save like 30 cents on a muffin for the humiliation of being humiliated in public. You know, get the senior discount, Dad. Take the 30 cents. You know, I'll pay twice. You know, just leave me alone. I mean, you find me it's insulting, isn't it?
Yep.
Do you take the discount when it's offered?
Every time.
What have you gotten that's worth taking that for the humiliation?
Got $5 to get in here.
Yeah. Oh. Good point, I guess. Peter Williams is here, too. Peter Williams. Oh, hi, Peter Williams. How are you? Can I get you to stand up, and I could probably reach you if you stood up. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
What line are you in?
I'm retired.
What line were you in?
I was a lawyer.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, an attorney.
I know what that is. I know. Or a barrister, you could say that.
Yes. Well, I solicited also.
A solicitor. See, yeah, all those things. There's various names for them. And there's even more than that we can't go into.
All right. I actually worked right across the street.
You did? There's nothing. That's a lake over there.
Lake's over there.
Over there, it's hard to say indoors here.
That's cool.
And how's your retirement? Pretty good?
Oh, it's wonderful. I love it.
What do you do, like, every day?
Well, ask my wife.
Yeah? What does he do every day?
He does genealogy on the computer, endlessly.
That's a cry for help, Peter. What are you looking for? Who?
Well, actually, I'm looking for discounts, senior discounts.
Using the genealogical tables?
No. That's a lie, what she said.
Well, she doesn't know what you're doing in there in the computer all day and night.
Yeah, that's true.
The door's locked, and just you and a bottle of bourbon and the computer. What is it?
Oh, I don't know.
But you call it genealogy.
I can ski for free.
Don't change the subject, Peter. All right, and you have a question. What is this here?
Well, I thought you were from Racine, but are you from Kenosha?
No, I lived in Kenosha for a while.
Oh, okay. Well, I should have said, instead of Racine, I grew up in the village that shares my last name, which is located 40 miles west of Kenosha.
Yeah.
And what is the...
Williamsport.
No.
Williamsburg.
No.
Williamstown.
Williams Bay.
Williams Bay, yeah. Thank you, I heard you, sir. Nobody listens to you, though. Have you noticed that? Nobody listens to you. He's saying Williams Bay.
Yeah. Well, I thought you would know that, Williams Bay, if you're from Kenosha.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while.
Okay.
I'm getting the senior discount now, so I have some of that information has just sort of fallen away. Thank you very much. Well, nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Okay, you got the pictures? Is he with you, or why is he taking pictures? Is that Sean, then? No? So where's Sean? Because he's from Racine. Oh, there. There's Sean from Racine there. You heard of Williams Bay?
Yeah.
This is Williams. That's pretty exciting. Oh, you're probably thinking about sex, huh, Sean? Well, the reason I say that is the average male thinks about sex every 7 seconds. Sean says, what are we thinking about the other six? Let's go find out. I don't think every seven. Do you find yourself thinking about sex every 7 seconds, sir?
No. I'm thinking about discounts.
Whereas, I guess there's an age thing involved, sort of with a cutoff for the. But you're a veterinarian, so you should know these things, right? Okay, can I get you to stand up here? Yeah, don't make yourself too comfortable. Oh, I'm sorry. Sean Mulville?
Mulville, yeah.
From Racine, Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, where did you come up with this figure?
I don't know. I think I read it online somewhere.
Did you find it to be true?
Occasionally.
Okay. How long have we been talking so far? Hopefully you're not thinking too much about sex as we were speaking.
I was distracted.
Yeah, okay. That's supposed to be true, but that's true of for a 20-year-old or something.
Probably.
Yeah. I think by the time you reach more than that, I think there's a decline. Or, I mean, there's a lag in there.
Well, for some people, maybe. Yeah.
Then it's every 2 weeks, think about it, and then you think about it, you know, biannually after.
Yeah. That's possible.
You have an answer for this other 6 seconds?
No, I was wondering if somebody else did.
Okay. They don't cover that in vet. They don't cover that in vet school.
They don't cover that in vet school.
You think animals think about it like people do?
I imagine they think about it. Yes.
Well, you would know, wouldn't you? You're the vet.
Well, I haven't asked them lately.
No, but they seem to be interested in it quite a bit.
Yeah. Drive to reproduce.
Yeah. Sean, I think we're going nowhere with this.
Okay.
I'm going to leave now, but okay. I'll leave you to your thoughts. Okay. Think about that. All right, well, I was worried to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz because I think it's just to end the conversation that I've been having. And so how can we do that? I'll tell you how. Someone has to raise their hand and say, you know, Mike, I've always wanted to do this. Is that what you're saying? He's always wanted to do this. That's what I'm talking about. Can I get you to come down here? You look like an intelligent man. You may be overqualified for this quiz.
Thank you.
No problem, really. Anybody else who wants to? Your name is?
Terry Burrington.
Terry Burrington? You're from here, Terry?
Palmyra, Wisconsin.
Palmyra. Beautiful. Palmyra. Terry, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I love the show, and I've always wanted to do it.
Well, that's a little more sincerity than I'm used to, but Terry... That works for me. Come on down here, pal. Terry from Palmyra, come on. No steps there, Terry. Have a seat there if you would. I'll get you a fresh water. I got a fresh water here. Right here.
We make our own water here. It's very good. I'm using X-ray spectroscopy.
And, So, Terry, what's your area of interest or field or preoccupation?
I'm a bank marketing consultant.
Whoa.
Tough job these days.
What does
days.
That mean?
Well, we help banks that are moving into new markets, branching or celebrating an anniversary or some special event, introducing new products.
Yeah. Do you have to travel to do that?
A little bit, but only in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's your region, the Wisconsin region?
Yeah.
Are the other guys doing Minnesota?
Oh, sure.
Same thing you're doing in
and
Illinois.
Some of them cover the whole country, but
yeah,
I like to come home at night.
You do?
Yep.
Why? What's there?
Well, it's just nice. It's comfortable. It's home.
Okay. I got that part, but I mean, I come home at night too, but you know. When you come home at night, who you got there, Terry?
Dolores, who's with me today.
Doris?
Dolores.
Dolores. Hi, Dolores. How are you? And along who's with there with Dolores?
That's our friends Carol and Janet Paulson, who are
the Paulsons.
Used to be our neighbors and when we lived in Prairie du Chien.
They did, really. And they followed you all the way to Palmyra?
Oh, yes. They have...
They're possibly stalking you.
No. They have grandchildren in Mount Horeb, along with a son and daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
And they have a son in McFarland.
Well, how come you know more about them than you do yourself?
Well, they're good friends.
I know. Really, you know their entire lifestyle. That's very good, actually. And you've stayed friends all these years.
Oh, yes.
That's wonderful. Do you do, like, things together?
Yep.
Well, travel together?
The ladies go to the garden show and Carol and I... That's where we got the idea for this last year in February when the ladies were at the garden show.
Uh-huh.
We were just touring around. Carol had never been to the Monona Terrace. So I brought him here, and we saw the long line for the show, and we said, hey,
really?
I've heard it on the radio. We, in fact, we were driving around that day.
Oh, that wasn't the line for the show. That was the line to get out.
Actually. Oh, okay. Okay. It was a long line.
It was a long line to get out, yes. We backed him up. They probably had the home show here or something going on at that time.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's so they were at the garden show, and they said, why not make this an event? And so would you rent a little bus or something? And
oh, no, it's just the four
of us.
We'll have lunch with the son from McFarland when we finished with the show.
Yeah, okay. He's going to meet you somewhere?
Badger Bowl.
Badger Bowl.
Good soup.
Good soup.
Good soup.
I never had the soup at the Badger Bowl.
I love the soup at the Badger Bowl.
The phrase, I'm eating at the Badger Bowl, just doesn't strike me right. I know. But, you know, it could be quite good. You never know.
Very good.
What kind of soup is it?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Oh, you just heard about this soup?
Oh, no. I've been there before for lunch. And I've always had soup, and it's always been good no matter what kind I've had.
Well, what kinds have you had there?
Chicken and rice.
Chicken and rice. That was good. Not out of a
Florentine
can.
Florentine tomato or tomato Florentine. I can't remember.
Fancy schmancy at the Badger Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Florentine.
With the crackers.
Holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
That's the whole nine yards then.
You bet.
Well, I may go with you. This sounds pretty
good. Well, sure, you're always welcome.
Oh, thank you. That's very, very kind of you. Terry Sutton out there plays along with you, and Michelle, how do they do that?
This is an encore performance, so hold off until we're back live next week to take your shot at the quiz.
Quite a day for you, though, between the show and the Florentine soup with crackers.
I've been wanting to be on the show forever. I'd even settle for reading the disclaimer.
Oh.
But this is better.
Yes. You're a nice guy, Terry. You can come every week. Why don't you come
I would
every
love
week?
To.
Can you work it in your schedule?
Sure.
Okay. This is another percentage question. Within
5%?
Oh, now she's getting tough. Now that's what happened with Jim too. Jim started out liberal and he tightened up over the years. Percentage of people who snowball their toilet paper, according to Georgia Pacific. You know, there's some people are folders, fold, and the rest of us are scrunchers or snowballers, and we want to know. It's an important part of our state, too. It's the other thing that we're known for besides spectroscopy is toilet paper.
What's toilet paper?
What do you call it?
Tissue.
Ooh, tissue. Yes, we have tissue and Florentine soup today.
I used to live in Whitefish Bay.
Oh. And you had Whitefish toilet paper, apparently. What? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Ted's on the line. We're looking for a percentage of people who snowball. Ted's on the line from Overland Park. Hey, Ted.
I'm sorry?
Hi, Ted. This is not Ted, is it? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Who's this?
This is not Ted.
Yeah, who is it?
This is Perio.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry, it said Ted on here, but that's fine. Perio is fine.
Yes, Perio is fine.
Yeah, it's good. Do you know what percentage of people, Perio, would you say who snowball their toilet paper?
31%.
How did you know that, Perio?
I just know.
You had that on your fingertips?
Yep.
You had the toilet paper on your fingertips. We got to give it to her. That's it, 31%. It's a little suspicious. It's a little suspicious. Perio, where are you exactly?
I'm in Hebe, Pennsylvania.
Hebe?
Yep.
In Pennsylvania. Is that somewhere in the middle of Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Okay, good. Are you a snowballer yourself or a folder?
I'm a folder.
Folder, okay. That's more than I ever asked a person before. But Perio, this is Terry.
Good morning, Perio.
Good morning.
And you are a team now. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
You're good with it? Okay. And the two of you collaborate as a team now. You are a think tank. And what are those categories there, Michelle?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Perio, we'll let you pick the first category. What would you like?
Places.
Places, okay. How did you happen to know that, Perio, honestly? Now, was that just on the tip of your tongue?
No, thanks to Google.
Oh, you Googled it. Oh, okay, all right. Well, don't do it again. All right, in Minnesota, is it illegal to put dog droppings in the envelope along with your parking fine? Or is that considered free speech? Talk it over. Terry, Perio.
I would say it's free speech.
You know, the way the laws are, I'm going to agree with you.
No, I'm sorry. It's illegal. They ruled on this, and it's disorderly conduct. Yeah. It happened in Austin, Minnesota, and they said you cannot legally, even if it is a protest, obviously it should be covered under free speech. It is not, and so...
That is one wrong and no right.
Yeah.
And there goes the car, right? We don't win the car.
You don't win the car, no.
Oh, no.
No. So what's left there?
Current events, people, things you should have learned in school, and science or odds and ends.
Perio.
I picked the last one.
Oh, you did, yes. Terry?
Odds and ends, please.
Sorry. Before they went to the hub system, pterosaurs could fly up to 50 feet, 100 miles, or 10,000 miles nonstop. Pterosaurs, the flying dinosaur guys.
Could fly how far, please, again?
Or pterosaurs. 50, 100 miles, or 10,000 miles nonstop?
I'd say 100.
I'll go with that.
Or the seemingly unbelievable 10,000 miles.
What was that? 10,000?
That's right, 10,000. Unbelievable. Because they didn't really fly. I think they coasted, and if they got enough updrafts from all those volcanoes and what.
That's one wrong and one right.
That's right. One wrong and one right.
Terry wants your job, Michelle.
I've only had it for an hour and a half.
What's left? What's left?
Current events, people, things you should have learned in school, and science.
Okay, Perio.
School.
School it is. Here it is. If you are in a subduction zone, where are you? Subduction zone. That's something to do with geology. Should have learned this in school, subduction zone.
I'll have to let you answer it. I didn't take geology.
You didn't?
General did
science?
I.
General science? Probably got it in general science. Any idea? Subduction zone?
Would have anything to do with an earthquake?
Well, it could, yes. Mm-hmm. I just have to call time on this. You'd be under a sinking plate, one of the Earth's plates that is sinking, going down through the mantle of the crust. That's a subduction zone. It's to be avoided.
That's two wrong and one right.
Boo.
Okay, don't worry. You'll pull out of this. I have every confidence in you. What's left there, Michelle?
Current events, people, or science?
Current events, please.
Current events for Terry. Justin Bieber has forbidden his dates to wear one of the following. Is it juicy, couture, thongs, or Uggs? He laid down the law, Justin did, because he can.
I would think Uggs because they're ugly.
I agree.
Yes, Uggs because they're ugly. That's exactly what Justin Bieber said. Uggs because they're ugly. You got to lay down the law, young Justin.
Two right, two wrong.
So this is it. This is it.
We have left people or science.
People or science. Perio, I believe it's your turn.
People.
People. This is kind of survey results. Out of 10 people, how many think their diet is healthy? Nine? Is it nine, seven, or five? This is where you ask people.
They think or they know.
Think. Yes, ask people. Do you think you have a healthy diet? And they say yes. How many out of 10 would say yes to that question?
I would say 7%.
I'll agree.
Seeing 7 out of 10.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Or could it even be higher?
It could. It could be nine.
Because people are just saying, do you have a healthy... Yes.
Oh, I have a healthy diet. It could be nine.
Sure, I have a healthy diet. Sure.
I think 9%.
You're saying 9 out of 10?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Why not, right? Wouldn't you say that? Someone said, do you have a healthy diet, Terry?
Yes.
See? You're right. 9 out of 10. You're right. What a come from behind. I love these come from behinds, Michelle. What have they won?
Terry, you've won the result of an evangelical passion for handcrafted original Wisconsin cheeses, coupled with their perfect companions in a fine selection from Fromage Nation on Madison's historic Capitol Square. Perio, you'll be walking in the master's footsteps with a pair of plush, comfy, and marvelously dreamy Freudian slippers with the patented red sock toe from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild. And both of you will survive moments of extraordinary beauty and grace.
Graves on James Murphy's CD, Asheville, and challenge the mental acuity of family and friends alike playing What Do You Know, the Party Game, including the ineffable Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing.
What does that mean?
Available exclusively at notmuch.com.
Here's a quarter for you, too, there, Terry. You deserve that. That's a Feldman quarter.
I love it.
For 25 years, like a penny a year.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Terry. Great to have you on. Terry, I'll hang on for a second.
Our next live shows in Madison are every Saturday starting January 12th through February 9th at the Monona Terrace. Tickets are available at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201.
And you know, Michelle, each week at this time, we honor a town, a village, a burg, somewhere across the greater U.S. with their Town of the Week. Here is Michelle Good.
Highmore, South Dakota, population 851, is a rural town and the county seat and sole town in Hyde County, located just 48 miles east of Pierre, the state capital. Principally a ranching, farming, and agricultural community, Highmore is the gateway to Big Bend on the Missouri River and offers many fishing, hunting, camping, and recreational opportunities. Centrally located at the crossroads of U.S. Highway 14 and South Dakota Highway 47, Highmore enjoys convenient access to highway, railroad, and air transportation. It's also one of the best and largest wind energy development areas in South Dakota. A thriving community, Highmore boasts a well-balanced business district, volunteer fire department, progressive school system, a nursing home, clinic, and housing for the elderly. The Highmore Courthouse, built in 1911, is on the National Register of Historic Places. The Booster Club, Women's Civic League, and Historical Society are very active in community affairs, including the promotion of Old Settlers Day, the third weekend in June, and the Snow Queen Festival, held in the first part of December. Oh. And that's our Town of the Week, Highmore, South Dakota.
A lot going on in Highmore. Thank you, Michelle. We've been calling randomly. And Lyle has, actually, and Laura Anderson has joined us from Highmore, South Dakota. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. It's a beautiful day.
Is it a beautiful day in Highmore?
Yes.
How's the winter been so far out there?
Well, it's been blustery, but today we are not having wind, and it's just lightly snowing.
But wind is a good thing because you got the wind industry out there too, right?
That's correct, but it doesn't take much to turn those turbines.
So you're getting an overabundance of wind is what you're saying.
That's right.
We could cut back on some of that wind. It wouldn't bother you.
Yep, that's what we get on the prairie here.
Yeah. Are you a native of Highmore?
Close by, the surrounding county, yes.
Surrounding county, but you moved into Highmore?
We ranch north of Highmore.
Oh, you ranch north, yeah.
Yep, so living in the rural community, we farm and ranch.
Yeah.
We have cattle and sheep.
Cattle and sheep. Well, it used to be one or the other, didn't it?
Yeah, well,
back in the old days,
used to be diversified. Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Because it was always the cattle guys versus the sheep guys.
Yeah.
But now they're one of the same guys.
Yep, that's right.
That's pretty good. And business is good, I hope?
Yes, business is good. And we also started a commercial pheasant hunting operation.
You do?
Yes.
So you get, like, Dick Cheney comes in there and shoots pheasants that are trapped or something?
They're wild birds.
Wild birds?
Yep, hunting is great in the county, so.
Yeah. So they just come out in your fields and shoot?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, okay, that sounds pretty cool. Is that going good, too?
Yes, it is.
I suppose you always got to be thinking of new ways of generating some income and everything. And
it never hurts.
It never hurts.
That's right.
Have you raised a family out there on the prairie?
Yep, we raised a family
of
three, and we're the third generation here on the local farm.
That's fantastic, fantastic. Did you hear Michelle's description of Highmore and surrounding and areas?
She did an excellent job describing our community.
Yeah. Anything that left out that you want to point out to make sure that people don't miss about Highmore?
It's just a nice rural community, very active, and, you know, she pretty well described it as pretty trying to put together new businesses to keep the rural area surviving. And I hear that coming is an assisted living complex.
Right, yeah, yeah. So business is booming.
Well, it's holding together good anyway.
It's holding together good. That's good news. If we were coming to down there and you wanted to show us around, obviously we'd have to probably do some chores on the farm and everything.
Well, we always welcome extra help. That is true.
You probably wouldn't welcome my help. Laura, I'm afraid we're just about out of time here. We got to run. We do have a little something for you for being so nice to us.
We'll be sending you cheese from the Wisconsin Cedar Grove Cheese Company.
Yeah, it's a cheese company.
Yeah, it's a cheese company.
Thanks, Laura.
Excellent.
We appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time. Laura Anderson of our town.
Wish you could enjoy What Do You Know every day? You can. Click over to notmuch.com. You'll be able to join our Facebook family, play the brand spanking new online quiz, or laugh throughout the week with Michael's tweets. It's all there for you in one place at notmuch.com.